But really, extending yourself, it's not so much God's waiting on us to get in position so the word can come. It's preparing our own heart for the word that's already been foreordained. And that's what happens. And so I just thank and appreciate you so much, like I said this morning, concerning that that place that you're in. It's just a wonderful thing. So, Lord, we thank you again for the privilege and the honor of being with our family once again to say what thus saith the Lord. We lean upon the things of the Holy One, trusting you completely and totally for the deliverance of your word. We still stand amazed at how you can touch our hearts with the song and the word. And Lord, we thank you that the depths of our hearts are being moved to grow closer to you, to see your principles in this particular area of the word of God called healing. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. We shall not minimize that. We shall not skirt that. We call you that because you call yourself that. Now we lean upon that name that's above every name. We give you glory and honor and praise tonight. Now, great Heavenly Father, stretch forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders be granted in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for it in that wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, by way of review, we'll look at a few things. I didn't know where. I thought we'd get a whole lot more further than we got. But boy, I tell you what, I'm thankful we got there so far. Amen. Amen. I'd like you to go back. There's something I want to look at again here in Exodus 15. And just underscore, there's no particular teaching on it, but I want to underscore something here because it's very important that we see this. Now, we looked at verse number 26 only, and that's all we'll need, Exodus 15 and 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken. Now, I've gone to great lengths, I did to some degree this morning as opposed to last night. I didn't want to get teachy, didn't want to get too preachy, just get information out. But it behooves us to stop here and look at this just for a minute. If thou wilt, if it's a contingent participle, meaning in the event that this is done, if this is done, if thou would diligently, thou meaning me and you, right, hearken to the voice of the Lord. And now we're not going to listen for his voice. We don't have to hear it. This is his voice.
That's right.
So he's saying, hearken to what you're reading and hearing on the inside of your belly. Can you say amen? He says, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I want to stop right there. Everybody say statutes. So then, this is basically incorporated in some of his statutes. Now, we don't see, I heard one minister say that healing is not a promise. I know where he was going with that, but all the promises of God are yea and amen in him. Whatever he promised, said, and see, he will perform, really, that is a promise. Now, I do understand what he's trying to say. I guess he's saying it's not just a promise. But really, what it is an ordinance in the statutes. It's really embedded in this thing called statutes, and these do not fluctuate because he doesn't have to make adjustments. Doesn't have to compensate once he says something and then come back and make it fit somewhere down the line. No, this is a part of the plan of God from the time that he said it to this very moment. And he said, if we would, not him, but if we would hearken to the voice of the Lord, give ear to his commandments, and incorporate, so to speak, all of his statutes, I will. It's the if-then contingency plan of God. If you do this, it's obligatory. I'm obligated because I'm saying it. If you do this, I will not allow, nor permit, nor bring not one of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted and allowed and brought upon the Egyptians. So then I can absolve myself of anything that comes from the permission of God, the allowance of God, which I have allowed. Amen? By just doing what he said and doing that was right in his sight. Now that's real deep, isn't it? Just doing what's right in his sight. You know, we don't have to get into some deep teaching. The fact is, if I read it and it's right and I do it and it's in my sight, I just remove myself from being the target of the enemy. Somebody shout glory here. And so with that in mind, I want to talk to you just a little bit. I want to give you an example of what we'll do as beings. We get to the place of what we call tolerance. You know, in other words, we'll allow something because it might be nagging, but I can tolerate that. We tolerate people. You know, there's some people that just got to just grind on you, don't they? And you sit there and you tolerate them. You don't blow up. You just kind of, this too will pass. Amen? And if we're not careful, we'll do the very same thing with some nagging, quasi-neo, almost illness. And if it doesn't impact quality of life, well, I can get along with this. You ever been there? I was in the doctor's office one time. You know, you go, and if you, you know, it wasn't my regular thing. So the guy said, I haven't seen you in 3 or 4 years. I said, well, I didn't want to come. So now you got to go through all this stuff all over again, and page after page. I got up, I said, listen, this is kind of redundant. The lady said, yes, it is. Do it. So I went back and I started writing up. And I got to this one thing, and it literally, I sat there and shook my head. It said on a scale from 1 to 10, how would this affect you, your quality of life? Would it be, they was asking, you know, could you live with this somewhat? And it's on and on and on, gradiently up and up and up and up and up. I'm supposed to find a place somewhere in that service. I'll take this one. You know, it's just a little pain. You know, if I got a hitch in my get along, I'll stop right there. No, see, that's predicated upon how I need to medicate you. Are you listening to me? And if whatever you say, I'll give you that much to take care of that. Well, I don't want any of it. I don't want to tolerate it at all. I don't want anything nagging. I'm going to wake up the next morning and say, well, I just, you know, that's your that. Pastor, I got a friend of mine, Pastor McClure, you know, and he's had this knee out of whack probably for all the time that I've known him, but nothing slows him down. Absolutely nothing, you know that. I mean, absolutely nothing. And, you know, he's moving trailers. I've seen him, you know, stuff on his back. He's done. I'm thinking, now, if you were to ask him, you know, where this area of toleration is, he'd have to say there is none. It's not that you're in denial. Are you listening to me? But it doesn't have to inhibit your way of living. Right. My survey is that I put zero on there. I don't want none of it. I'll settle right here at number 3. No, you don't want any of that. And you can get yourself in position by the word of God and affirming your faith and not lying to yourself, but adhering to what he just said here, doing what's right in his sight. Somebody shout amen here, and find yourself living at a higher level of that same thing you thought that would keep you locked down for the next decade. You want to shout me down because I'm preaching good? In other words, well, I could never get rid of it. It's chronic. Well, I was in Memphis, Tennessee, 1994. Never forget this. And we were in the middle of a meeting. I mean, it was just flat out just gone. I mean, large church, and it was just one of those blowout meetings, you know. And it wasn't about halfway through that meeting. I think I told you this through the years. I said, the Lord said to me, tell him to get in the healing, right in the middle of the meeting, tell him to get in the healing lines. I said, well, we're having a meeting here, Lord. I mean, can we wait? I mean, I got 3 or 4 more points. Tell him to get in the healing line. So I stopped right there. I said, well, I just got some directions from the Lord. And he said, get in the healing lines. And I mean, they stopped running, stopped shouting, and then started coming down and getting lined up. And I thought, well, okay. And the Lord said, no. I mean, big one, no. Tell them to get in the healing lines. Well, I said, I just said that. I said, well, the Lord said get in the healing lines. And I think, well, I didn't. I just said, well, they're coming. I said, Lord, they're coming. I mean, inside, they're coming. He said, no. I mean, just big. Tell them to get in the healing lines. And I was thinking, I felt like Peter. Well, you know, I mean, it's the third time. Well, you know, I loveth you, Lord. Loveth thou me, Peter? I mean, I felt that same way. And then it hit me. Tell them to get in the healing lines. And I stopped them right there. I said, stop. He said, get in the healing lines. Every word of God that talks about healing, get there and feed. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Now, and then I heard this. We're going to pray for people. I mean, on the inside, I know we're going to pray for people. But anything chronic, anything that's chronological, keeps coming on. Yeah, decade, don't get in the line. I thought, man, what is going on here? You know? And so I said, if you got any chronic thing, you know, don't get in the line. And the church secretary called me on Tuesday. She said, I was mad as a wet hen. I was on my way down there because once you said get in the healing line, I understood that. But then you said, come on, we're going to pray for people. I'm on my way again. She said, but when you said chronic, I had to stop and obey you. So I went back to my seat, but I was mad. She said, I was mad as I could be. I said, but while there, and you begin to minister the word of God, and when you got to a certain place, I don't even know where it was. She says, then all of a sudden, for the first time in 12 years, the pain of that fibromyalgia went away. He said, I don't have not at one time. That was Tuesday morning from Sunday night. Somebody shout amen here. You see, I don't know what happened there, but I know this. Amen. You do what he says to do when he says to do it. And so that night the guy came back with testimony. We didn't know it. The pastor called me and told me about it. He's given up. I mean, he basically, in the last stages of AIDS, this is 1994. And I mean, very few people coming out of that then. And he went to his doctor. And the doctor said, I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you've done. He said, but you keep on doing it. He said, I can't do it anymore. I just went to that meeting the other night. One young man, I'm talking about this. Look, you cannot prescribe and foreordain how God wants to work. And that same meeting, I said, well, you know, you ran to that fence. I saw hands on the fence, picket fence. I couldn't see the face. I'm on the other side of the fence. I see a man with his hand on, actually a guy with his hand on his fence. Didn't know how old he was. I said, and the bullet missed you. And you're alive today because of it. Now serve him. All of a sudden, man, just a guttural, woo, 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 woo. That's exactly what happened. He was going to try to rob a 7-Eleven, something stupid. I mean, this was years ago, and the bullet missed him. And he was in that meeting that night, and he gave his life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about is that the word of God in your mouth, spoken at the unction of the Holy Ghost, will set people. We can sing about freedom, but that freedom comes with acknowledgement of who he is. And he is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. I'm going to tout him as that. That's who he says he is, and I will not back down off of it. Somebody shout amen here. Now, having said that, we do understand a number of things. Number one, there's a human factor side of it. Just like there's the redemption, and there's the legal side of redemption. That's God's obligated to his word. But there's a manward side, there's a Godward side, and there's a manward side. In other words, I can't get saved. God can't get me saved against my will. I have to yield to his salvation plan. Doesn't matter how much, it's not his desire that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. That's not his desire that anybody would perish, but people are going to perish. People are perishing. Why? Because it's on their side to accept. Now, Calvinism says exactly the opposite of that, but I'm telling you right now, until I said yes to the Lord, I mean, look, you can be around religion, you can be in religion, and you can be in church, around church, it just doesn't fall on you. Ever notice that? At some point or another, you got to come to the conclusion, I want him to be my Lord.
Yes.
And your mother didn't do it, your father didn't do it, your mama, your friends didn't do it, you did it. The same thing that happens when it comes to healing. Your participation is required in your healing, with the exception of what's called of the nine gifts manifestation, special faith. I talked about the sovereignty of God. Let's couch it in that particular gift thing called special faith. It says it's faith, but really it's special faith, and it's not yours. It's the 1994 I talked about last night, Uvalde, Texas, occasion when a lady came in, and I'm not going to go into all of it. Anyway, she's basically asking for prayer for her friend. Friend's not even in the meeting. Not even in the meeting. She's been there only one night herself, and that's the last night of the meeting. Standing in the back of the door, never came in. Sat with her hands against the ceiling. I just bounced looking at me the whole night. Never even sat down. Never opened the Bible, never nothing. At the end of the meeting, she ran up. Come pray for my friend. Didn't even ask me, told me to. I thought, you got your gall. I mean, you wouldn't even sit down in the meeting and honor the Lord. And yet you're going to tell me to come. I said to the pastor, I said, this lady came in. He said, well, she's a good lady. We know in the community. Not a member of this church that I know of, or any church for that matter, but you know, if you felt led of the Lord to go in. I said, well, I'm getting ready to deny her, slam dunk her, and the Spirit said, go. I said, what? I said, you understand, Lord, this rude lady wants me to go with her. And I said to my wife, I said, what do you think? She said, well, if the Lord said go, let's go. So we took off. The woman burned rubber out of the parking lot, almost left us. I wasn't getting in the car with her, I know that. I mean, just, we had to run to keep up with her over the track, behind. I mean, just all over. But I'm thinking, where in the world are we going? Pulls up into a yard. Gets out, slams the door, walk in the house. Didn't even wait for us. I'm thinking, this doesn't seem very godly. Got to the door sill. I can see the building right now. I opened the door, walked in. When I stepped across the threshold, the Lord says, she's healed. I thought, glory to God. Where is she? Then he walked in. To the left is a little nook area, dining room area. We walked around. The lady just walked and just stood there. She just stood. And I walked around that little nook and there, and the only reason I know it was the lady is because she had a bra on. It was kind of a slim that you can see right through it, but she didn't need it. She was skin and bone. There was nothing there, but she had a bra. Head, no hair, eyes sunken, a skeleton with skin is what she was. Teeth projecting out of her mouth because it all retrophied back around her, a grimace, the most horrible sight I'd ever seen on a living human being. And I thought, and her husband, I finally looked around, and her husband looked up like, who are you and what are you doing? I can say, what are you doing in my house? I mean, my wife is dying. And he looked at her friend, and she just kind of, and I walked over to her, because I got inside information. I got some inside information. Hey, I didn't step back and all of a sudden this one's easy. I adjure you, you foul spirit, come out, come out. I didn't do none of that. Walked over to her for their sake, laid hands on her. I said, you're healed. I didn't say be. I said, you're healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Took my hand off of her, turned around and walked out. Man, her friend was upset. She wanted me to perform. She wanted me to cast out that cancer spirit. She wanted me to do something. Well, that's all you're going to do? Almost like that Naaman thing. Almost like him say, yeah, go tell him to dip. That's it? Come on. That was all to be done because we had inside information. We left that town. Didn't know a thing about it. Just glory to God. Thank you, Father. We're obedient. A year later, we had another church called Bread of Life. I told you the story, you just remembered. And we were giving out cassettes back then, and And there was a lady in the back here. I said, this belongs to you. It's a teaching by my wife. And I call Unwavering Faith. And I said, this belongs to you. I don't know why, but it belongs to you. And I started walking toward her. The woman got out and started walking down the aisle. And the more she got closer, and she finally got about halfway, she said, it's me. And I said, me who? Then I saw that skeleton with that sunken face full of life. I saw that bald head full of hair. Whew. I saw those teeth now back in with a smile. She says, I'm healed. And I said, well, what happened? The pastor knew about it. I said, what happened? So I went to the doctor. My husband took me to the doctor 2 days after you left here. The doctor said, I don't know what's going on, but this thing is in rapid remission. And she says, I'm healed. She says, can I cook for you? I said, help yourself. Get on. So we went to our house that day, and our family, watch this. Now, watch this. We go to our house that day. No offense. It's just what it is. All of our life, she's been a Roman Catholic. Wasn't born again when we went there. Unsaved. But when she got healed, and she told the story, she came to that church, not where we had been, came to that church, got born again. And that day, we went to her house and the whole family was serving God. See, God's got his agenda. You play your part and don't question anything. Amen. He was after a whole family. And he had to get somebody to obey him to do it. So she started the road. Jesus, when they let that paralytic down to the roof, it says, Jesus, seeing their faith, she was like one of them. She was not taking no for an answer. She was going to go to the meeting, get that preacher to come over and lay hands or whatever needs to be done. And God prepared her heart before he prepared mine. Somebody shout amen. You don't have to feel something for something to be anointed. You don't have to sense it's the will of God when you know on the inside you heard from him, it is his will. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Don't you dare minimize that. Anywhere, anytime you get the unction by the Holy Ghost, I don't care what form it's in, if you sense someone's in despair, somebody in distress, and somebody's a despot and stressed out, ask them, could you pray for them? And then go on and do it before they can say no. Amen. Yes. Wagner, Oklahoma. I told you this years ago. I'm rabbit hunting. I got my rabbits. Glory to God. I'm on my way back home, and I'm trying to get back to Tulsa. That's 42 miles. And there, all of a sudden, on Highway 69 and Highway 51 in Wagner, Oklahoma, there's a McDonald's. And I don't like McDonald's. I don't want nothing in McDonald's, except when my grandkids want me to go there. And I'm turning into this McDonald's. I don't want nothing in here. I got my coffee, real coffee, amen, in my thermos. I'm not hungry. Why am I going in here? Well, I went in anyway. Walked in. I'm thinking, and not only that, I got an excuse to turn around because it's loaded. Yeah, people everywhere. They got the little styles. So I'm in the little style, like, you know, looking at the menu going, turning like I'm in a ride at Disneyland, you know. I finally get up there to the counter and I'm thinking, what in the world am I looking? What am I about? And I heard this little faint voice. Hey, can I help you, sir? I look down. Nose red, eyes watery, just. And I said, what's wrong with you? I'm sick, sir. I said, you're sick. I said, why don't you take off? I said, I can't afford to, sir. I said, I'm going to pray for you right now. You are? Yes, I are. I mean, not even. I'm talking about, I knew why I was there. Are you listening to me? I knew why I was there. I leaned over that counter and laid hands on that girl right there, and all them folk in the public. I say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed of this plague right now in Jesus' name. Man, she popped too. I mean, right in front of me, she said, sir, I feel better already. I said, well, glory to God, I'll have a hot apple pie and a coffee. I've got this thing done. Hey, job done. It's over. I'm out of here, me and my rabbits. Amen. St. Louis, Missouri. These are just encounters. Cracker Barrel. A year ago. Well, 2 years ago. Two duck seasons ago. I keep thinking of duck season. Somebody told me, go on the internet. You know these little crazy weasels that you buy and they just go all over the place. It's a little ball, and you. Yeah. It's if you buy one of those, and on a real, real, real calm day, all this jerk line stuff. He says you take that ball, cut a decoy out, stick that ball in there, close it up, and let her rip. And I'm telling you, I'm looking all over to find that thing. And they had an online YouTube thing, and I mean that duck, that decoy was making all kinds of. I'm thinking, hey, I want two of them. Amen. So I'm looking for that thing. So you get that Cracker Barrel. I'm looking. I finally find. There it is, a little weasel-looking thing. I go up to the counter. I'm going to pay for it. And I'm, okay, I'm going to, and they said, she couldn't talk. I said, what's wrong with you, sis? I got laryngitis. In Cracker Barrel, the most unspiritual place on the planet. Amen. I said, I'm going to pray for you right now. High, stretched. I mean, people waiting to pay their prayer. I said, in the name of Jesus, I really laid my hands on that one, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Hallelujah. Took my hand off her, paid for it and left. She just kind of, and went back. So my wife and the pastor, his wife was sitting there eating, so we finally ate. And I forgot all about it, didn't say a thing. So I'm going out, we're leaving. I want to get the tab. I told him, no, I'm going to get this tab. I'll get this tab. So I'm going to pay the tab. And she walks up to the register. I thought, oh, that's that lady right there. You know, she says, well, hello, how are you? I'm thinking, hey, you couldn't say that. Well, she says, I can talk now. I said, Evelyn, that lady couldn't talk a while ago. I told the pastor, everybody's around. I said, look, brag on him. I said, brag on him. Demonstrate his power. Are you listening to me? So what is doubt? Doubt is apistia without faith. Uncertainty, no knowledge about God or his power or his ability. That's what doubt is. Ignorance is to not know. There are people that can doubt and still be ignorant. There are people that know and to do and not to do. They call that sin. Uh-huh. Are you listening to me? So then if you know to do, stop inhibiting the desire for God to use you in the marketplace. Be who you are. And if you stretch out, your needs are going to be recompensed right back to you. Are you listening to me? Seize the opportunity to look like Jesus. Glory to God. To act like Jesus. He wants them healed, you want them healed. He wants them saved, you ought to want them saved. Can you say amen? So based upon that alone, we have a covenant, we have statute, we have an ordinance that we are the healed of the Lord. Now, go to Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5. Amen. And we'll look at the scripture, and I think we're just, I'm trying to get over to this one place. Don't know if we're going to get it there, Lord. You're going to have to help me. And we're not going to go very far on this. Matter of fact, we'll go to the very first verse and look at that. Expound upon it just a very little bit. Now, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now, predicated upon Exodus 15 and 26, if you hearken to the voice of the word of the Lord, do that which is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments. That's all, everybody say obedience. So then obedience is required of us from the scripture perspective, for us to walk in the blessings of God, we have to do it the way he says do it and when he says to do it. How he says to do it. That's called obedience. Obedience and health walk hand in hand. Obedience and faith walk hand in hand. You cannot obey or you cannot have faith without obedience. So then, see in chapter Mark, verse number 5, we see here, they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now, we're not going to go through all this, but jump over to verse number 11. Now, there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. Jump down to verse number 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Told what? That the man from Gadara, or the maniac from Gadara, was set free. We understand he was clothed and in his right mind. You know, things can get picked up. When I was a kid, this wasn't so much in our Methodist church, but my mom was Nazarene Baptist, well, Baptist, but it was called Nazarene Baptist Church. And so occasionally I'd go to church with her, many times, as a matter of fact. And, you know, we have these testimonies. I thank the Lord I woke up clothed and in my right mind. I'm thinking, I never knew what that meant, clothed and in my right mind. They were taking it from this. But I thought at the time as a kid, let me see, you woke up clothed and in your right mind. Okay. Now, I just deduced then that if you went to bed and you went cuckoo, amen, then you should wake up not being cuckoo. Amen. I'm trying to reconcile this stuff, you know. Because some, clothing in my right mind, I thought, well, were you crazy last night? You shouldn't be crazy when you wake up. But they hijacked this, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, look. So then, he says here, and they that came to Jesus and to see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, wait a minute. He would thrash himself, running in and out of the catacombs, and he was absolutely crazy, demoniac, and they weren't afraid of him then. They just said, well, he just does that. But here he is now restored. Are you listening to me? They weren't afraid of him. They were afraid of how he got there. Are you listening to me? We saw you yesterday, and now you're sitting here talking with me like a sound man. I'm afraid. Isn't that something? Rather than glorify God, they go into the fear mode. But what is this all about? The next thing you say is this. And they that saw it told them how it befell, how it happened to them. And that was possessed of with the devil. And also concerning the swine. Everybody said the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Rather than say, man, we got somebody here that can help us. We got some other people. Now, you know, you travel the world like that some of you begun to do, particularly India, our place of endeavor, and you see a lot. America, we see some people that have some issues, you know, I mean, cripples here and there, but you get over there, people walking on their hands and their backs. I mean, it just absolutely, you think, my Lord. Well, think about that. If Jesus were to show up and somebody like that's gone, I saw a man, actually a beggar, and it was hot. It like it was 104 degrees humidity in India that year. And the guy had somebody made him with like a skate scooter, and his back was on it. His actually back on it, but his neck was straight. In other words, there was no bend in it. And he was just sitting straight up there, and he would scoot with his elbows and beg. That was all he was. I'm thought, my God, Jesus could work something here. Yeah. But really, in that particular environment, anybody could if Jesus allowed them to. My point is, I didn't feel led to go laying hands on them. You can't just be stupid. Amen? You're going to have to be led of the Holy Ghost. Well, then, if that was the case, then people would throng or should throng him because this man now has been restored, but they want him to depart. Why do they want him to depart? Go to Isaiah chapter 65. What has happened here is embedded in Scripture, but yet it can run right by you if you don't look at it this way. Everybody say obedience. Obedience. 65. Let's read here. First of all, this man was among the catacombs in the mountains and running around and in the tombs and all kinds of nonsense. Look at what it says here. Verse number 3, I can't go into all of it. A people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificed it in gardens and burned it incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. Go to verse number 11. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink of offering unto that number. And years ago, I looked at that and said, well, what is all that about? Well, the word troop there is the word Gad, or the tribe of Gad. The abominable things, we just saw they eat swine's flesh. They went to the country of the Gadarenes. That's the Gad remnant. They are over there in total disobedience. Not only are they raising swine, they're eating swine. And now Jesus comes over there and the swine go off the cliff, 2,000 of them, into the sea. They just lost a livelihood that they shouldn't have been involved in. Are you listening to me? They were mad at the fact that he came over there and destroyed their business. But he was angry because they shouldn't have been doing it. Are you seeing this? Disobedience and obedience are kin, but they're not the same. A lack of obedience is to not perform something. Disobedience is to do exactly the opposite of it. That's exactly, they were disobedient. You cannot obey. We've said this through the years. There's no way in the world you can obey a speed law. You know, if 65, as you have 65 and a quarter, you've just violated it. And I know some of us do a little bit more than that. We'll shout it now. Amen. Now, Sister Evelyn is the speeder of the family. That woman got a heavy foot. And she just got his feet as comfortable. Just shoom, I'm thinking, hey. But then you see, obey the speed laws. You can't do that. You can comply with laws. You can't obey them. Compliance and obedience are different things. Obedience has an embedded value attached to it to get the rewards from adhering to whatever that principle might be. So there's reward. But when you come to compliance, it's because there's a punishment, it's punitive if I don't do it. Are you listening to me? If I get caught, I got a car we were able to drive, and just 3 or 4 weeks ago, I put it out of the garage, and I just shined it up. I said, this is long ago, and, driving around, and I did. I went to a service station, and I came out, and man, right behind me was police officer. I don't drive fast. I said, what did I just do? Female officer, she got up, she listens. She says, sir, your tags are old. I said, what are you talking about? It says June of 15. I said, no, can't be. I looked at my, oh, Lord. I drive the car 3 or 4 times a year, and I get the thing, and listen, I put it on the side. I got to go and do that. And you get 30 days grace in Oklahoma. So I had to July the 30th to get that tag, and didn't. Now, was I disobedient? But that was a lack of compliance. So I have the penalty is just the same. Are you listening to me? But then I willfully and ignorantly, at the behest of Pastor Leroy Leggett 5 years ago, he said, come on. I said, I don't want to ice fish. I don't like standing on water, peeping through a hole, trying to find a fish. And it's big up there, you know, just big. I'm thinking, okay. Here we out there. I'm looking through a hole that I had to auger out myself, not electric. And then you got to, and they bite like this. It's not like I'm waiting for a, none of that. He says, he's on there. I said, what? He says, set the hook. I said, why? He's on there. I'm thinking, and that fish going, he's cold too? Yeah. I'm thinking, okay, I'm ready to go. People got tents, people got sleds, they've got, and we look like, what do you call that? I look at the black Michelin man, you know? I mean, I'm wrapped. I got stuff on me. Out comes the game warden. Says, checking licenses. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. He said, I said, in my haste, and he's picking me, you didn't get a license. I said, no, I didn't. I'm not going to lie. So I didn't get a license. You know, I said, he said, I got a cite. I said, write it up. I'm ready for the, says, I'm not going to try and, it's a punitive aspect that's going to, I'm going to encounter it whether I'm ignorant of it or not. Are you listening to me? And so he wrote the ticket. I gladly said, okay, well, thank you. And Leroy said, well, go over there and just get one. So I went left and got license, came back. So I wrote a letter and sent it in because I always, when I go up there to squirrel hunt, I always get a license. I just don't do it. I just get a license. And I said to the judge, I said, listen, you know, I complied with my hunting and I dismissed it this time. They dismissed it. You see, you can be belligerent. You listen. I tell you, I stayed together. No, you were in error. Can you say amen? So own it. And get the right attitude. And throw yourself on the mercy of the coat. Amen? And I got absolved of that because I wrote a letter and told him I always got, like, look at my history. I've got a Louisiana state number right now, and I always get a license. That's why I got here so late, because Walmart system was down. And when Walmart system is down, everything else is closed. And so here I am trying to find a license in the middle of the night. No, but I can comply or I can obey. The obedience factor factors in the value in receiving from the one to whom you've submitted yourself. Are you listening to me? Meaning then, I'm going to submit myself fully and totally to God. I value what he said. His requirements are not grievous to me. It might be hard on the flesh, but they're not grievous to me. Are you listening? Meaning this, I'm going to put everything I've got into not just being compliant, but being obedient. Because the obedience factor is where I get the blessing. Somebody shout amen here. Now, having said that, we got to go. I'm going to skip that, Lord, if you let me. God, we can't be eternal. Oh, of course, they don't have to get up for the duck hunt in the morning. We might just kind of elongate this. No, we're not going to do that. Now, I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And because we're talking about doubt and unbelief, and I just want you to see what God's perspective of this is. And it's all concerning in the area that we're talking about, healing. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on this very much. We'll just read it and go, because that's a whole other teaching. Chapter 3, verse number 12. Hebrews 3 and 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And what God sees as evil is unbelief. And here's the thing, it's an evil heart of unbelief. Now what is evil heart? No, an evil heart of unbelief. The unbelief factor makes the heart evil. And evil is not, you know, you devious thing. It's the inability to submit yourself to God to receive what God has in store for you. And if you don't believe that, that's evil in his sight. He sees the heart of unbelief as evil. A heart of doubt is evil. Now, we can doubt in the sense that we've not been taught. That's why we saw in Jesus, Well, actually, it didn't say it, but 9:35 through 38 of Matthew, it said Jesus went about the villages teaching, preaching, and healing. So he taught, he preached, and he healed. So it's based upon eradicating the foundation of doubt by teaching the Word of God, removing the ignorance by teaching the Word of God. And by so doing, now people can decide the truth that's been presented to them, what to do with it. When truth shows up, you got to do something with it. It's there. You can't. It's there. So you either reject it or you accept it, but you're going to have to do something with it. Now, if I elect to, so, well, I tell you one thing. Man, I didn't know that before, but I've got it now. Now I'm armed. Now I'm ready. I'm ready to enter into what God says I can have based upon my knowledge now. What does Hosea say? Are people to destroy for lack of what? Knowledge. So then I got to have knowledge. I got to be taught. And once I'm taught, now it's my responsibility concerning anything. We're talking about healing. What does the scripture say about healing? I can't all of a sudden, but I see it this way. That's where we get in trouble. That's where the denominations have put us on the road to walking around being pill takers all of our lives. Are you listening to me? Meaning this, if we don't give God a chance, we can only relegate ourselves to the temporary remedies. And I'm not going to knock the fact that some things can relieve you. Matter of fact, I don't have any problem at all taking a pill if I need one. Don't shut me down. I'm telling you right now. You don't think, well, just believe God that headache away. Well, I don't think I want to do that right now. Anybody got a Tylenol? If that's okay, you know, I don't have any problem with that. Oh, what about your faith? That's not nothing but my faith. You know, if I need complete and immediate relief right now and something to do that, I'm going to do it if I need to. But to function, sure got quiet in this church all of a sudden, amen? As if I'm the only one that'll do that. But if we turn some filth upside down here, pills will fall out all over the place. Yep. You've been there. Yeah. Say amen. Amen. All right, now. So it's an evil heart of unbelief. Now, go to Romans 14. We're going to run through this because I'm not going to teach on any of it. Didn't plan to. And I didn't say this, but it takes bearing. I'm not going to just run through it. Romans chapter 14. And we know this about the eating issues that are being addressed here, but I want to look at the 23rd verse and get the latter part of it. Romans 14 and 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. But this is what I want to get to. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If it's not of faith, it's sin. And it festers in that evil heart of unbelief. And your unbelief is sin. God, it's not somebody pointing a finger at you that you're sinning. What it is that your inability to believe God and what God says about that, that is sin. I don't want to be pointed out by God, not somebody. I want to point out by God as walking in sin. I got my life in order. You know, I've removed myself from worldliness. You know, I adhere to biblical principles. I tithe, I give, I serve. So I'm in good shape. But yet if I look in the scripture and find that I can't believe God at some point, I am walking in sin. I don't like that. Are you listening to me? And when you do that, it's not between you and somebody else. It's between you and your God. And the unbelief is blocking your blessing that he wants to get to you. What does Paul tell the Thessalonians, I think it is? He says, though we believe not, he yet ever abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Who's he talking about? Himself, his body. Though we believe not, yet he ever abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. What did we sing? He won't give up on it. What's the name of that song? But he'll never give up on us. Well, you know, because he can't deny himself. Who is himself? His body. Because he's going to do his end. He won't have to tweak it, won't have to modify it, won't have to adjust it, won't have to compensate. That spiritual law is laying there to participate in. Somebody shout amen here. And when we embrace the simplicity of the scripture and self-apply it, not generalize it. Yeah, you God's healed. He's healed. Yeah, he healeth me. Somebody shout amen here. He has concern about my physical well-being and my welfare physically. And he has shown me the means by which I'm to walk in that. And I don't have to go around and tout it and blast it and make sure people know that I'm believing God. The issue is, it's between me and my God. It's between you and your God. Can you say amen, everybody? Now, saying that, go to Matthew chapter 8. And, Lord, I guess we'll do it. Matthew chapter 8. And I purposely deferred from doing any songs and things like that. We want to use all of our time, and it's been good. Amen? Now, remember the centurion. And look at what he says here after the centurion's statement. He says, verse number 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Not before, but in the hour that the man reconciled that the word only be spoken and he would receive the blessing. It was according to his faith. Now, here's what's troubling. There are those who espouse that when people don't manifest a particular healing that they're believing for, that they didn't have enough faith. Now, I take exception to that. Now, we saw that this morning, it was in Mark the 9th chapter, where the man said, you know, help thou my unbelief. Remember when Jesus was talking about, forgiving your brother 7 times 70, or 490 times a day? The next statement was, Lord, increase our faith. You see, because we have to reconcile ourselves, I am not there. And that's all right. Don't you dare, I can do that. I can do that. No, I can do a self-survey instantly. And like we said this morning about you're shooting at a duck at a long distance, I'll pull it down. I doubt that I can hit that. I've already put it in there that's out of my range. And I'm not going to, maybe I just throw it out there. Like Wayne Eisman did one time. Some guy told him, you buy these shells, man. I think they were like $46. I mean, it was crazy. I don't know what that means. Supersonic, ultra, blah, 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 maybe like $40 a box. And we're teal hunting. And I got these cheap $927, $9 a box. And we're knocking down ducks. And he shot this one teal. And that teal went down. And he shot at him again, and he walked, and that teal just kept swimming. That teal took about 7 of those rounds. He stopped in the middle, he says, that's about $20 right there. That teal just swam on. One point is this, we can throw, I believe I can do that and be on the edge. Sometimes you just know that's not for you to do. It's beyond your ability. Reconcile that. You don't have to be super anything to anybody. Say amen, okay? Matter of fact, I prevailed upon Philip Morris during teal season because I'm tired of this. Year after year, after year, after year, after year, of duck hunting down here. They come, Brother Marcel, him. You see him? I'm thinking, what are you looking at? coming right at you. I'm looking at his eyes, looking at Dot's eyes. I don't see nothing. What are you looking? Him too? Brother Marcel, take you back. I'm thinking, where? I'm thinking, man. And finally, I just show up and I shoot, you know. But I'm thinking, why'd you say that? So I said to Philip, I said, You see him? Philip said, I don't see Brother Morrison. I said, did a Morris say that? He said, I don't know what he's looking at. I said, praise the Lord. So, why should I strain when he's going to pick him up? Just show me when he was in range. There we are. Boom. I got a little bit better, though, this week. I thought, well, let me, you know, because Paul started doing the same thing. I thought, oh, this, forget this, man. So finally, I just thought, stop staring and just looking, trying to pick up a dot on the horizon. And it began to work. Now, Philip told me, oh, he's beginning to do it. See, it's a honed skill. That's beyond my ability at the time. You've been doing it all your life. Are you listening to me? Don't try and go and standardize yourself by somebody else's skill set. Stay within the realm that you know you can operate. And the only time you step out of that is a supernatural unction. Somebody shout amen here. And when you do, you got backing because the Holy Ghost is going to back you. Somebody shout glory. Woo, man, I got to get over here. All right. Now, go to the 9th chapter, Mark. Look at something else. We were the 24th verse the other day. Let's look at this 22nd, 23rd verse that led us up to that. Mark 9, and we're going to wrap this up pretty quickly. And we're talking about healing. We're talking about not backing off because you might not see the results if you pray for somebody. Don't go there. I mean, let that spirit of boldness and just strict scriptural obedience direct and guide you. Don't be afraid that if you know you're going to pray real quietly. I didn't pray quietly in Cracker Barrel. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I didn't pray loudly. I just said, in the name of Jesus, you be here. I'm not ashamed of that name. I don't know whether that woman was born again or not. Bass Pro Shop in Birmingham, Alabama. I just, you don't know. I'm going into the Bass Pro Shop. And I hit the style, and it stuck. You know, I'm talking, boom, boom, boom. And the lady sitting there says, she got up off of it. She was a chair sitting, hitting, handing out flyers. She got up off of a chair. I mean, she labored over there. And she said, that thing, she did something on there, and it just spun. I said, so what's the matter? You said, my first day back. So what? She said, I've been out for 10 days, six. I said, you okay? She says, I don't know if we're going to make it through the day. Well, forget the decoys I'm looking for. Are you listening to me? There's a greater need right here. You better be available. Yeah. I said you better be available. Yeah. I said, ma'am, I said, you don't have to go to the rest of this day like this. Yeah. She said, well, no, I said, because I'm going to pray for you right now. I laid hands on that woman in the name of Jesus. You be healed. I don't care. We got all kinds of instances where people that were not covenant people were healed. Yeah. Can you say amen? Amen? If God wants to demonstrate himself on a heathen, be the candidate through whom he's going to do it. Yeah. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I laid hands on that woman right there in the middle of Bass Pro Shop. I said, you will walk this day out. I stayed there a long time. Matter of fact, I was trying to find 22 shells and couldn't find them. I went back there. Now watch this. I've been all over trying to find 22 shells when they were shorted. Couldn't find a box. Couldn't find a box. They're all gone. I went to Walmart. It comes on Wednesday, man. Bam, they're all gone. I laid hands on that woman, walked back to the counter. I said, you have any 22? She says, how many do you want? Glory to God. I said, how many can I have? He said, well, I'll give you two at a time. Then you go out and come back in there. I said, I'll make multiple trips, sir. Hallelujah. See, is that a reward? I've been looking for 22 shells, but if I stop to take care of his business, yeah. Amen, I left there loaded with 22 shells. Why? Because of the simplicity of obedience. Somebody shout amen here. Amen. Okay, 9:22, didn't I say, God, Lord, let me stay on point. All right, verse number 22. It led us to what we're looking at. He said, look, and oftentimes they cast him, talking about him into the fire, talking about his son, and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, that's what I want to get to. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's a plea. That's a cry. Humanity is hurting people. And you have the answer in your belly. he says here, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. That's what I want to embed on you. Can you believe? Because we know that if we believe, all things are impossible, are possible to them that believeth. Well, then it's all back on me. And the degree to which I can believe, I will believe. But if I'm not there, I don't have any problems. And Lord, what am I missing here? How can I increase my faith concerning that? Are you listening to me? I mean, do I have to read and study more, pray more? Whatever needs to happen here, I'm willing to do it. Because I want the results that you said belongs to me. It's not about your pastor. It's not about your mom, dad, spouse. It's about us and our God. Amen? Particularly if self-application. I have seen incremental and progressive healing. Meaning this, it wasn't instantaneous. But I got better and better and better and better and better and better. Can you say amen? So don't go all of a sudden doing a field test. I still got it. Well, don't uproot what you just said. Amen? If you believe it, it'll be to you as you believed. And that's what's important. Somebody shout glory here. Now, Romans, man, I can't do that, Lord. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to skip a few things here because I want to just end this on this high note. Otherwise, we're going to another teaching. And we won't do that. Romans chapter 12, and this is really, I've touched on this before. We haven't incorporated anything that we've previously taught. This has all been pretty fresh, and I still didn't get to the places I thought I would. But we've been here before, and I think this bears repeating, because it's going to come down to faith, and I'm going to show you something, what we're dealing with. I'm going to say it publicly, and I want to back off of it, because it's very important for us to realize what has happened. Merchandising is still going on in the kingdom of God. Hijacking of scripture is still going on to the degree that men want to gain from it. Are you listening to me? And muddy up the water, misconstrue, and people get led astray. And all of a sudden, I had a lady just say to me the other day, I'm just going to stay this, man, Lord. I'm among my family. Amen. She had called about something to another friend of ours. And somehow, you know, so we were talking on the phone. She's in another state. She says, "Woo! I just sent in my big first fruit offering." I didn't say a thing. I said, "Oh." Now, she's expecting. Now, listen to me. She's expecting, first of all, a total misapplication of scripture that someone has taught to where she, all of a sudden now, will take a whole month's salary, because it's the first fruit offering, and gave it all. Got nothing to do with tithing. Okay? She's going to give the whole fruit. And boy, I'm waiting for my return. I'm thinking, I've seen this before. I've seen it split families up. Yeah. I've seen it where people go back to the church and say, "Where's my money?" with a revolver. Wow. Yeah. You did what? You said, "Well, I'm going to get my money." You can't go to preacher. You went down and got the money. I saw this happen. A woman just took it upon herself, take her and her husband's collective salary and just a first fruit offering. That man went berserk. And he should have.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Well, what's that for? If you get enough people to do that, you'd be all right yourself.
Uh-huh.
But they won't be. Because I guarantee ain't no return on that. Off my soapbox, glory to God. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 12. Now look at verse number 6. We'll just kind of stay here for a minute. It says here, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, rather prophecy, let them prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So that prepositional phrase, proportion of faith, is to be put in front of every one of these. Giving, serving, whatever. So we won't stop right there, the proportion of faith. Now, I'm going to give according to proportion. I'm going to prophesy according to proportion of faith. Now, if we're not careful, when we think of proportion, we'll think of, if I said, apple pie, we're going to eight people, we're going, what, eight slices, right? We're going to think of degree, we're going to think of amount, we're going to think of, but that would be a mistranslation. The proportion of faith, whatever we do according to the proportion of faith, if we're going to believe, then we're going to do it according to the balance, and here's where it's missed, the balance of the love and the doctrine that you teach. That's the proportion of faith. How that butts up, as it were, to your faith is predicated upon Galatians 6:5, what is it? Faith worketh by love. Are you listening to me? Your faith ain't going to work independent of love. And if your doctrine is squirrely, it ain't going to work there either. Can you say amen? So it's based upon the proportion, the balance between love and doctrine. Because you can do things and teach things and not have the people's welfare at the center of it. Are you listening to me? That means that's a total lack of love. That's a total lack of love. Or you can do stuff and be warm and fuzzy. Went to a church in Anaheim, California many years ago. 6,000 people. I mean, and we got invited there by some friends, and it was a midweek service, and they had something going on. I went in there, and I'm thinking, okay, it was a very prominent church. But everybody in there, it was warm and fuzzy. Ooh, yeah. I mean, everybody did lovely. As squirrely as Rocky J. Squirrel. But they're warm and fuzzy. I mean, they're just fired by love. And that's what I'm thinking to go. And everybody prophesying to each other. I mean, the whole night, I'm thinking, I once said, don't come over here. I left out talking, well, they got a lot of love, but they're squirrely on the doctrine and can't get no help there. Went to one of our other churches, though. I constantly remind myself of this. Church of God in Christ in North Highland, California. I mean, this is the Pentecostal shoot-off of the great move in 1908, 1910. Brother Seymour and all those people, Assembly of God and Church of God in Christ split. Black Pentecostal movement is what it is. It's this great foundation and a whole bit. But I mean, it's some legalistic people. And when I say legalistic, I mean legalistic. When I say legalistic, I mean it go legalistic. And I'm telling you, man, we got there, and I'm thinking, I walked in there, and my wife, you know, because the sister sways, you know what I mean? I mean, she dresses out, and there she is, you know? And she walked in there looking like a, I mean, she stood out like a, you know, think that, yeah, what do we have here? I'm thinking, oh, boy, we are, I thought, and man, I'm telling you, they were hard as nails. Now, they're preaching the word of God. But ain't no love there. The other one's got love everywhere and no doctrine. You got to have a balance between those two for God to be able to use you. There's a proportion of faith. How much faith are you willing to... Now watch, I may as well stay here too. Do not... Oh man, how we get over here. Do not waste your faith on non-essentials. I had a lady tell us... In Ontario, California, told Evelyn, in the middle of a big Bible study, everybody now getting their prayers answered. What do you want to pray for? But so you ready to pray for you? Says, oh, I want to pray and I want to use my faith to see my angel. Excuse me? See what? I want to see my angel. We all got to see my. And Evelyn said, honey, don't do that. And I thought, it was quiet, and it says, don't even tempt God with that. There is no scriptural precedence for you to see your angel. Use your faith on stuff that's already there for you to use it for. Don't waste it on trying to see your angel. I see you got some needs right now you can use it on, as a matter of fact. Then I had a man tell me 6-8 months ago, he said, boy, I believe it, I'm using my faith. I'm going to walk on water. I said, why? He said, well, I want to. I said, why? Non-essentials. Why muster up all of that on something is not worth a hill of beans. Project that faith. Aim that faith at something that's going to serve humanity and even serve you. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Healing belongs to the body of Christ. Use your faith on either getting you healed or getting somebody else healed. Can you say amen? Because sometimes they're infirmed in faith and they can't believe for themselves. Then go over there and say, Lord, I'm going to step like that lady did in Uvalde, Texas. She stepped right in there as an intercessor, as an intermediary, rather. And she said, I will not leave here until you come and pray for my friend. Her friend wasn't even saved. But thank God that that woman had the tenacity to not take no for an answer. Amen? Yeah. And we have the same tenacity concerning ourselves and our friends and our family. Somebody shout amen here. Yeah. Now, if that's the case, and it is, we'll end up right here. Go to James chapter 5, and I'm not going to go any longer than this. I can't. Man. I could, but I'm not. Amen? Can't means I don't have the ability to, and I do have the ability to. Amen? But it ain't going to happen. James chapter 5, and we know this. We're not going to teach on it as such, but I want you to see this. Because we've touched this before, but I want to look at it again. Verse number 13. It begins, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Now, those three, is any, and our limited English language is interrogatory. It's asking a question, is it not? But in the Greek, in the original language, that is not an interrogatory. It's a statement. It's basically saying, there is, particularly sick, there are sick among you. Because there's no church on the planet that has not had, that has not somebody in there dealing with something. Yeah. Amen? So the wisdom of God is that the apostle is saying, there are people that are sick among you. And not if they are, that they are. And since they are, let them, let them call for the elders of the church. And then that process, that prescription within the promise, good Lord, man, it's the prescription within the promise. The statute itself is in operation, never fluctuated from the time he said it in Exodus. Still in place, still in vogue. But now we've got methodology to put to it. The church, let them call. Did you notice this? It didn't say call for the physicians, call for the doctors, call for the elders. There were doctors around then. Call for the elders and let them get, do what? Get involved. Anoint them with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will save or sozo the sick. Meaning this, we come right back to that same word, sozo in the Greek, salvation, total deliverance, whole, made well. The oil doesn't do it. It's a symbolic aspect of it. Oh, Lord. This is a baptistry. When that person goes down in there, the water didn't save them. It's an outward demonstration of an inward act. The oil doesn't heal them. It's an outward demonstration of the great anointing of God by the Holy Ghost. That 8:11 of Romans, that quickening spirit on the inside of your physical body shall make you well. So we excite that indwelling spirit. Healing belongs to you. Stop cutting up, warming up to quote unquote sickness. It's prevalent in the earth, but we need not warm up to it. Somebody shout amen here. Let's stand. Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you've allowed us. Oh, Lord. Wait. I missed it, Lord. Sit down. My Lord. Go to Psalms 116. Man, we're done. Psalms 116. And Nende brastolo boshi tili mambre eledesk. Look at this. Remember we said, Joel 3:10 and a few other things there, say what the word says, amen? Say what the says about you, that the weak say I am strong, that the poor say I am rich, you know. As he is in this world, so am I, you know. As he is, so am I in this world, rather, 1 John. And so we start saying what the word says about us. We say it exactly like the word says it. And look at what David says, the result. We're not going to go through the whole Psalms 116, but go to verse number 8. He says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Here's his resolve. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, I'm not going to die. Here's the clincher. Verse 10. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll end here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we'll get over here and look at verse number, I think it's 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. David says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. So over here, Paul picks up on that theme, and we basically have now joined him. I know I have. And verse number 13. We having the same spirit, everybody say spirit of faith. According as it is written, where? Psalms 116 and 10. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Oh, yeah. We also believe, and therefore speak. Remember, confession and profession is the revealer of your heart. Profession and confession, out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So true confession is revealing what's on the inside of you. I believed, and therefore I spoke. I didn't speak to believe, I spoke because I believed. All right, now having said that, this is a foundational teaching that goes to Romans 10, 6 through 8, what the word of faith that we preach. It's been hijacked. Literally hijacked to say you can say anything, believe it, and speak it. Are you listening to me? And you can use the word of faith. And yet at the very same time, we find ourselves being on the outside of those empty affirmations, not attached really to faith, but just saying it and teaching people to say it. We can hijack scripture and manipulate scripture, but it will not benefit you in the long run. It is the inerrant word of God, and it operates only through the vessel that believes it, amen, and speaks it and commands that they get in line with it. It's all about me. I've got to line up with scripture. Scripture doesn't line up with me. And so I now have to take a step back and look at what I'm affirming. What am I saying and what I'm believing? You know, if it doesn't line up with scripture, then I'm ready to just kind of leave it alone. Can anybody say amen to that? And when you listen to people who affirming it using the very same scripture you use, and they've got it lined up and attached to something, it's got nothing to do with helping folk. Amen? Back out. Just say, you know what? I'm going to click bye. Just see you later. That's just going to increase you. And that's what I'm about, increasing the kingdom of God. I want to minister to people. And the Lord has called you a family. And you said something that he repeated yesterday. And Chad had to laugh. He said, my wife uses an analogy. A dog is just like their owner. I'm going to take it to another level. The people of God become just like their pastors. Why is this a loving bunch? Why is this a giving bunch? Why are they tender? Why are they dedicated? Because the leaders are. Are you listening to me? Why do they show up and pour out? Because the leaders do. That's what it's about. Replication and duplication of his ministry. Somebody shout amen here. I am the healed of the Lord, irrespective of whatever symptoms said otherwise. The gauges, the meters, everything that's registering, I'm not in denial of that. I see what that said, that said, that said. But I elevate. I elevate the truth of God's word over that. BP, over that, whatever it is. And I expect that to line up in days to come with where I'm living out of my spirit. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Let's stand. Father, I thank you this afternoon, this evening. You've allowed us just not to just come and have a great teaching and meet, but we've been able to impart by your spirit some valuable truths that we're going to have to get a hold of in 2016 to maximize our lives in you. We give you praise and glory for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You foreordain that we walk in complete and total health. Where we've missed it in this environmental situation, carcinogens, dietary issues, dead food, all that's working against us. But yet the truth of God prevails. So now we align ourselves with Scripture. And we come to the conclusion that we can do better in every area. And we will do better. And you will be glorified in this body. And the Word of God will have its course. For that we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.